I was walking down the street on a sunny day. Hubba, 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 hubba. A feeling in my bones says I have my way. Hubba, 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 hubba. Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, ain't it good when things are going your way? Hey, hey. Yeah, my little dog Spot got hit by a car. Hubba, 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 hubba. Put his guts in a box and put him in a drawer. Hubba, 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 hubba. Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, ain't it good when things are going your way? Hey, hey. I forgot all about it for a month and a half. Hubba, 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 hubba. I looked in the drawer and started to laugh. Hubba, 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 hubba. 'Cause I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, ain't it good when things are going your way? Hey, hey.
Welcome to Crippled System, episode 42, the number for everything. Isn't that the answer for everything?
It's life, it's the universe, and everything.
Yep. The answer is the thing you look for now is the question, not the answer.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
The question is, what's 6 times 7?
Or simply, how many roads must a man walk down?
My name is Andy, and I play Trollbuds and Cricks.
That was a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, I know, 42. Yeah.
42. It's
yeah.
good. It was I was waiting the last 41 episodes for the chance to use that intro, and then you stole it from me, because I was distracted with my Borderlands soundboard.
You could do it now.
Jesus. I did not know that one of the psycho quotes from Borderlands 2 was just him shouting pussy. That surprised me. I'm putting the phone down. Okay. Welcome to episode of Life, Universe, and Everything, and et cetera, restaurant at the end of reference. No, magic's gone.
Who are you?
I'm Nathan. I'm wearing a fancy hat and suit.
We have
quite dapper.
We have a ton of people here today.
It's a little crammed in this room.
Small little room. Some guys from Milwaukee, some guys from Minnesota.
Somebody
some
else.
Guy from Edgerton.
Edgerton?
Yeah. Is that? No.
No. There's nobody in this room, at least unless they're hiding in the closet. To our knowledge, there's no one from Edgerton in this room. Right. Somebody else introduce yourself. Andy's embarrassing himself.
Yeah.
I'm Rick. That Rick guy in the forums. I play Gator and a little bit of Pigs.
Oh, my, I'll...
My message is not irrelevant.
That's right. Torg was going to keep going off because we have the Zappity Grumble thing going on, and every time somebody tweeted, it was gonna shout.
So let's just go clockwise. It'll probably be easier.
You'll be easier.
Or counterclockwise.
Clockwise,
yeah.
From Rick?
Yes.
Because you already introduced
yourself.
So, Andy, you're next.
Oh, hi. My name is Andy. I play Trollbloods and Cricks.
Oh.
So is that a callback?
Yeah, that's a callback, yeah.
Professional podcasting.
Indeed. Yeah. I'm Matt Lust, also known as Professor Lust in the forums.
I'm Jeff. I play Kador in Legion.
I'm Nathan. I play Convergence and Minions.
I'm Dave. I play Mercs, Kador, and Legion, and I'm Wonky Kong on the forums.
Wonk.
Brian, Mr. Ruffles on the forums, and I play Legion.
And back to you, Rick.
Oh, I'm still Rick. I still play Kador.
And that's how we do it in professional podcasting.
Yeah, that's how you do it. I didn't like being the host here. I like it when other people take over as being the host.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm letting you do it, because your suffering is amusing to me.
Yeah, I'm pretty horrible.
Yeah, and so, then you said you had a topic you want to talk about. See, you're totally in charge today.
Oh, my God. I don't want to talk about it. I just want to bring it up and watch everyone explode. So one of the things that you definitely see on the forums right now with the release of the judges document, you have everybody talking about tournament etiquette. I almost said tourniquet etiquette.
No, there's etiquette for that.
You got to put it on the
limb. Yeah,
put it on the limb that's bleeding. Yeah. Not too tight. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not talking about something else?
No.
Not other things that might get too tight when you turn them?
No.
I don't get it. Please explain more.
Can you draw me a picture?
Well, I could actually use, if we had rubber bands and you dropped your pants.
See, rubber bands?
Rubber bands, and he dropped his pants, and I could show him what happens when you tourniquet certain things.
So when I worked at Target, I was in charge of the toys department, and a customer called on the phone and asked for my department, and then I answered it. They asked if we carried Elastorator bands. I'm like, you're calling the toys department at a Target to look for the giant rubber bands for castrating your horse? Like, Where in this plan did you think you were making the right decision? I also had a confused lady ask if we had pocket rockets. I don't think she knew what they were. Like, she heard they were a toy. She heard she should get one. And I was like, you want to call a different toy story.
AdamandEve.com. Yeah.
So that's tournament etiquette.
Okay, excellent. No pocket rockets.
You brought it up. Tournament etiquette, I think you should bring pocket rockets. It's only fair.
That way you're both.
Is that, you know, as long as you share them, though, right?
Yeah. Right.
Be played and passing red around.
Yeah. Well, some of the calf sculpts do have pocket rockets.
Yeah.
If you look underneath them. Yeah.
The studs. Yeah. Or these geldings.
Yep.
So what do you mean, Andy?
What do I mean? Yes. Well, you know, like when you're trying to ask somebody, you know,
do you mean, what's your threat range?
What's your threat range? Yeah. I mean, it's definitely seen one that I see go a ton of different ways, where people seem to believe that if I tell you what my threat range of my model is, that I am, by sense, giving you the tools to beat me. But it should be all open knowledge anyway. Yeah. It's everything. I mean, I guess it's one way to just hand somebody your cards and say, figure it out. But it's another way of, like, saying, you know, kind of given this move, this model has this X move plus this plus this. I might have some other movement shenanigans. You know.
That last part is the key, and that's the issue. Is I am, like, as much as in a perfect world, we all want the complete instant answer. Like, if I'm playing a Shade theme force and you ask me how far is the threat range on my pirates, I say it's 16 and a half. My sea dogs can go, their threat range, including their melee, is 16 and a half inches because of Coop Domain and No Quarter and his feet and blah, blah, blah. It's 16 and a half. Booyah. I know that off the top of my head. It's actually 17 and a half on a specific one if I were to push it. Am I an asshole for not remembering to mention push? You know what I mean? Like, it does get nebulous. Yeah. Is the issue. Even if you want to be, because I will every time. I'm not going to be, well, maybe, who knows, they charge 9, fucker, here's my cards. Yeah. You know, I'm not doing that, but 16 and a half, even though I know it off the top of my head, it's kind of not actually accurate, right?
I think it also depends on, like, one of the things about it is, and we talked a little bit about Nate earlier, but I sometimes what happens in local meta is there happens to be something I call fishbowling, where basically you are, you know, so used to doing things exactly your way, right? And if you're in your local meta and people don't take it that seriously, or they don't care, or you're the only guy or the only person, or maybe one of three people if you're 15 people who play in your store who care that much to actually know threat ranges, you're not telling people things because they're not asking, so you're not telling. So you don't develop habits that actually make you be that kind of person. So suddenly you think, well, I have to tell people things I don't tell at my local store, so why should I do that? And I think that's half the problem, is a lot of times, a lot of the angst, both pros and cons, and all the worries about getting DQs like that, a lot of that comes down to fishbowling, because think about it. I mean, that's one thing everyone's talking about is that a lot of this judge document is for people, for the big cons, right? When you're having people from, you know, what, 15, 20 different stores coming together, playing in 60-plus person tournaments. And obviously you guys do here at Misty and Pegasus and all that stuff. You guys run at more con level, so to speak, but a lot of stores don't. A lot of stores run it super casual. In fact, if you try too hardcore at a local store, you're going to end up become that guy even just because you're trying too hard.
Well, my thing is, my personal stance as far as, like, answering questions like that is I'm not going to catch a good player off guard with my 16 and a half inches. I'm not going to surprise a Jake Van Meter or anybody. You know what I mean? They're not going to. So I'm not going to beat them by saying, haha, you didn't realize I could go this far. So why would I want to beat anybody that way?
No, and it's a good point.
Yeah, and it's almost like you're trying to gotcha somebody. Like, so you're trying to get the one up. Like, that's not really making you a better player by doing that to somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
I see a lot of this. I picked up Butcher 3 from Gen Con, and I've thoroughly enjoyed playing him. But he is, like, one of these casters that people point to, because it's like, well, you know, he can charge and then impending doom to pull something in. Well, then he's got, you know, you kill a dog, he gets vengeance, you throw Madeline Corbeau in there for her move. He's got a ton of shenanigans, Energizer. And so people are like, well, you know, am I going to take any pride in a game where some guy who's never played against Butcher 3 before, because he's brand new, waddles up the table, gets within, you know, 15 inches of Butcher, and I'm like, great, I win. You know, it's like there's no challenge to it. There's no pride in it. So it's like, look, some guy who has no idea what my caster does, you know, asked, looked at some cards, figured, oh, yeah, I see he's got Vengeance. I don't have to worry about that. And Madeline's far enough away. And, you know, he just doesn't put all of the intricate pieces together. It's like, great, I won some guy who just didn't know how my caster worked.
And some people, you know, do enjoy that. And in the past, I won't lie and say I've never have, but at the same time, hindsight, it makes me feel like a complete, an ass, right? When you look at hindsight, like, why did I win that way? Why did I want to win that way?
But like I said, the flip side is, and the reason the judge document only requires, and that's the big thing, people are like, it suggests, it doesn't suggest it, it requires giving them your cards. Mm. The reason for that is because, and like I said at the beginning, is you can, you know, if somebody asks the threat range on a caster that has Hellmouth, do you count in the fact that you could charge a model, then Hellmouth a different model to pull a different model toward, you know what I mean? Like, there's things that aren't a speed increase. There's things that are pushes and pulls and moves that are weird and nebulous, and you can't even really factor them in.
Yeah, technically.
You can mention them.
You can mention them. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's possible. The reason that you can't... It's possible to legitimately not factor these things into it until it's your turn. And then are you a liar for not mentioning them? Yeah. Are
double
you a liar
stone,
for not mentioning the possibility of the Hellmouth forward?
Or even the double stone.
Behind, or the double stone.
The double stone technically isn't a threat.
Well, this is a big game based on you have to know your other army too and kind of playing like that. So if they ask, obviously tell them like everything they answer correctly, everything they can do. But if you get somebody on something they don't know, and it wasn't brought up, that's kind of part of the game, I feel.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is all about a learning experience. Yeah. So the second that you face a new caster and that caster pops their feet and you're like, oh, what does that feet do? You know it. You're in for anal rubbing.
Never ask the question, what does your feet do after someone feets?
Exactly.
Never say ask that like question. It's a bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, but it's a learning experience. And that almost works in the same way I believe in threat range, is you learn what your opponent's models can do, and that way you can react to them. I mean, that way, I think the only bad part about it is when somebody does get you with a gotcha, you know, and say like, oh, by the way, blah, 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 and you're like, oh, now I feel like shit.
Well, I think part of it, too, is you have to think about non-linear threats. So, like, I played Rick in today's tournament, played Butcher, right? So you can say, hey, my threat's 22 inches, but it doesn't account for I charge this thing, then pull you five over from a different angle.
Right.
And that kind of stuff. And then, you know, another stuff too, like the pushes and pulls. Like one of my lists, I was running gun mages. Well, all the pushing and knocking down, I mean, I can, depending on where you have them, I can knock you towards me or something and then charge. And it's not like, oh, yeah, my jack's only this fast. It's this fast plus the other stuff. But I think you should try and be as direct as possible. And you know, the judge document's supposed to be like, if it comes down to it, right? So hopefully... It never gets to the point where, like, man, this guy lied to me about his threat ranges. Like, hopefully it doesn't come to that point.
Or, like, you know, let's say I ask you how far, because I know Asphyxius 1 is going to stick me to death with his feet and everything, and I ask how far he's threat range, and you have a Reaper.
Yeah.
Do you count the Reaper dragging me?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's just, the big thing, threat range, go ahead and look through the entire book, and you won't find it. That's the issue. There's no such thing as threat range. It's a commonly accepted cultural norm to refer to things, but it's nebulous. Mm-hmm. Does the Reaper count? Does the Butcher's feet count? Does Hellmouth count? Does Push count? Who the hell knows? Yeah. You know, and that's the nebulousness as far as making an official answer.
And that's why it's so tough about that fishbowl concept, because we all play local metas. We all have these group of guys or gals we play with on a regular basis, and it's impossible for, unless you make a point of being on a con scene on a regular basis, to know everything. And well, in some ways, some of us aspire to that. Some people say, I don't care about ever playing in a super big event. It's not fun for me.
Yeah.
Right, but you know, obviously, you know. So I think part of it is the issue is, well, if I ever want to try it, should I ever even try? And you know, I think it's what happens is it's important for people to know about these things, but at the same time, it comes down to basically, you know, not to quote anybody else, but not being a dick, but just taking things as they come. Like, don't be so wrapped up in your own success that you get upset when someone surprises you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the competitiveness in people puts good play and just being a nice person in general out of that. It's like, well, then I don't want to play you. You do that to me. Okay, I lose the game because something I didn't know, I didn't catch it, the question wasn't asked right. I'll take note for next time, you know?
Well, a lot of times they don't even ask the questions.
Yeah.
And Epic Sorsha, for one, I have a bonded jack with her, and you end your activation within 2 inches, you're stationary for one round. I try to warn my opponents, you know, if you do that, just remember you're going to be stationary. And I try to bring it to their attention. But how many times can you do that? One game, I brought it to attention 3 times. He still put his caster there and became stationary. And all I could do was kill it. So.
Or, you know, somebody just keeps shooting at Tartarus from 8 inches away.
Yeah.
And, you know, like there's only so long that you can remind them. You know, and I sometimes, you know, I feel I even feel like a jerk when something comes up that I thought somebody knew. You know, like I cast Reconstruct on a Cypher. I was playing against somebody, and I said, that's Reconstruct, and that basically it's like respawn. If you kill them, they heal four, and then they whatever. And apparently he just wasn't even really listening to me. So then he totally went gung-ho and charged and killed the Cypher, and then I just teleported back to him and healed it. And he's like, what? And then I just destroyed him.
No, I had the same thing happen to me. I was playing a 35-point game, and I was playing P-Doom Shaper, and I purified off something, and I put Banishing Ward on the model, and he was playing Ron, and he wanted to force hammer the model that was Banishing Warded, and he was like, wait, no. I'm like, no, look, it says BW. That's not an F. There's a BW. You know, it happens a lot because some people just don't pay attention. They get so caught up in their own plan that then they get mad at you. I'm like, wait, yeah, this house is my fault.
Yeah, and one thing I was trying to do is, you know, when I sit down against a guy that I haven't played or, you know, maybe I'm playing something that they haven't seen, I'm like, hey, you know, these are my casters. Do you have any questions before we start the game? And I'll try and be as direct with the guy as possible. Like, oh, you haven't played Gordon? Well, let me tell you what his feat does. It's not going to be a gotcha to just completely screw you over, which
it
that
is,
feat
it's
can.
It's going to be, though. Man, I have every time I played Gordon, I faced, I would explain Gordon's feat three times to him. Three times. And then when I feated, they'd go, wait, what? Because it never got through their heads. Because they're like, oh, you can push me back. No, okay, if you want to keep thinking that it says push you back, there's other directions, buddy.
I can pull you. I can push you.
Sideways.
Take a war dodge.
Boba Fett. What?
But yeah, I mean, it's like you try to answer questions truthfully, but there's always there's things that may or may not count, you know. And then again, like Craig was saying, or like Jeff was saying, I'm sorry, you can't answer questions that aren't asked. You know, like one of Jeremy's proud moments was at the last Mayhem Cup that was in Iowa. Somebody had Gatsby charge forward and go to excarnate somebody. And Jeremy's like, you're like 4 inches away from a Banshee. And he's like, teleport? He's like, no, you're still 4 inches away from a Banshee. The guy never asked what a Banshee does. Yeah. Like, how's Jeremy going to know to tell a random person what a Banshee does?
Yeah.
And especially at a tournament, and that's the difference, right? I mean, at a tournament, at what level, I mean, that's the thing. I was going back, kind of callback, going back to the judge document, is that other thing, right? Is that what happens if you don't tell somebody something? Like, I had that issue, and it was the guy is a great guy. He's actually another podcaster, but he totally freaked out on me when I had E-Leap on my Axer and I threshered, because you don't lose E-Leap when you thresher. So every time I was hitting with the Axer, I was E-leaping, and he was freaking out. I was like, well, how's that happening? I'm like, well, I'm sorry, you don't know the rule interaction. I mean, it's E-leap, I thresher, I hit you, I pop a guy, and I pop another guy. Yeah. And he was freaking out on me. I'm like, no, I mean, like, you know, the guy's a podcaster. He's one of the big podcasts, and I'm not going to name drop him on this podcast because he's not here currently, but he's a guy who should know better.
It was Jeremy Shea.
No, not Jeremy, actually. Oh, okay. If it was Jeremy, I would tell him he's an idiot because I love him to death.
Maybe
but
Crump?
No.
Will Pagani.
Yes, it was Will Pagani. He came from Belgium just to have
just
me.
For today.
Just for this game.
I was asking you, did anybody run into any situations like that tonight playing?
Well, that was that situation. We actually had called Brian over. He's like, I'm like, how do you not know this interaction? I'm threshering. I have E-Leap. It happens. But this guy should know better. He's a good player. He's technically a knowledgeable player. But at the same time, it's just like,
it was just nobody in his meta probably did it before. So right. It's like, what? No.
And it's just been,
I only had one bad ruling tonight. Is a bloodbath on a chain attack. That somebody misread it. And I was pretty sure you have to make the melee attacks against
everybody.
It got ruled to not hit his own buddy in the back. So I'm like,
what?
Yeah, well, because it says can make attack against every versus, it's not if you do it, it's against everybody.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah,
and I was pretty sure I remembered that from Drago, but I'm like, maybe I'm misremembering.
Well, did he make any attacks?
My first opponent played Artillery Strong.
Did he make any attacks or just no attacks?
He made like three attacks. He attacked all of Rick's guys and none of his own.
Oh, that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's basically mini berserk is all it is.
It's a free thresher.
Yeah,
my first opponent was doing Artillery Strong just because probably his meta always does Artillery Strong. Like, he rolled the direction of deviation. He's like, ooh, I'm going to re-roll that distance. Okay, now I'm going to re-roll the direction. It's like you have to pick which of the two you're doing, and then you do that.
We had an interesting interaction on our final game. It was Gorshade versus Morvana 2, and Morvana 2 was trying to move up to go kill off Tartarus, because he could not kill Tartarus the entire time. It went up and just moved up 5 inches, tried to cast a spell at Tartarus, but she was in Gorshade's Blight.
Mage Blight.
So she couldn't cast a spell.
Yeah.
And there was a question. It was like, well, does she stop there, or would she actually continue moving?
No, she legally declared that she was done moving, and then she illegally declared her spell. The last legal thing she did was stop moving.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have really changed anything. I think Tartarus would have still been alive, but yeah. Oh,
Yeah, the last legal declaration, because technically by starting to cast a spell, he declared he was done moving.
Yeah,
because there's no ride by attacks for light cav. You cannot make the spell and then do your light cav move back.
Yeah,
but that's all you can do.
And even still, if it was heavy cav, he'd still declare that he is now in his combat phase.
True.
Which means then if he makes a second movement,
that ends his ability.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that'll be something I'll have to mention to him, or mention to Brian too, because he thought since he couldn't legally actually make the magic attack, that he'd be able to continue moving.
No, it's a timing issue.
That makes sense. It makes sense, though. Yeah, that's what I thought originally, but
But some of the issues I had with my Doom Reavers today, a lot of people said, well, I'm going to put a spell on them. I said, well, you can't. I got a spell ward on them.
It's not Sacred Ward.
They're doing Berserk, but I got escorts in the unit, so they're saying, okay, now you got to kill your guy. He says, I'm sorry, he's got silence. Yep. So, you know what's going on your side, and you're not always explaining to the opponent on the other side that, you know, these are all the tricks. That's why I brought these models with me.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I always do, because I've always played the more niche corner case things, I mean, Mercs, and well, I played Cricks originally, but Mercs and Pigs and Convergence, it's like I set up and I said, now tell me what over here you do not know by heart.
That's one of the first
because
things.
Because I always play weird things.
You know? Yep. I always say, do you have any questions about my army? And I've played so many armies now that I can look across the table and I'm like, okay, that does that, that does that, that does that. I don't really know what that is, but I'll just deal with it. But, I mean, that's the limitation I put on myself to learn it. But, I usually get by.
Sometimes I even am just so over top about it. Like, I was playing in an attorney, and I'm setting up, and the guy hadn't really played against Mercs before, so I'm explaining things, and I'm like, and then this girl here with all the undead, she's going to kill your caster. She's the one who's going to kill your caster. Make sure she dies, because that's my whole shtick. I'm delivering her, okay? And then, sure enough, like, he didn't believe me, and he goes to kill, like, two heavies, and I'm like, okay, well, now she's going to Corbeau move and charge your caster and attack you 30 times. So I tried to warn you.
Yeah, and I think that might come from some other games, like, coming from a GW background. I don't think people believe you. Like, yeah, this guy here is going to kill your caster. They think it's like a head fake, right? You're like, yeah, that guy's bullshitting me. That's what he wants me to do.
And I think some people are so used to that, not to step on you, but I think some people actually...
Yeah, it's, you know, you get that mentality. You know, from other games, and just how some people are, because, you know, a lot of people, when they throw some on the table, they have to win. Like, that's their goal, regardless if it's a friendly game or nothing. Got to win the game. And then you do stuff like that, like, oh, yeah, this guy, and you were, I'm being truthful. That was your goal, was like, this person is going to kill your caster unless you deal with it.
Right.
And then they're probably like, he's bullshit.
Because, again, against a really good high-caliber player, they would have looked at my list and go, list is tailored to deliver Alexia to me. Yeah. I mean, he's got all these tricks, he's delivering. Or, like, you know, play against a Scorn player, and they've got Makeda 2 and Malakarn. You're like, oh, you're going to throw Malakarn 2.5 feet. That's what you're doing. So if I was playing against somebody who never seen Scorn, I'm like, so this guy's going to go 2.5 feet and kill your caster. That's what you need to watch out for. There's no reason not to, because a good player would know that already.
Yeah. But they're also so embarrassed that they didn't see that coming,
yeah,
that they ignore it, thinking it's going to go away.
No, that's what I'm talking about, not seeing it coming. I left Saren with no folk or fury on her, and then I got teleported Arknode killed. So that's on me. Next time I know better. You know, what am I going
to
do?
Those it happens. Happen to me.
Yeah, that was a derp on my part. What am I going to do?
Yeah. We all have derps. My last game, I forgot that I just have Hunter. So I had all my whole shtick, like, all day was that I was digging in with my brigands, because a lot of my opponents had blast damage or whatever. So I have my brigands there, and they all dig in, and he's just like, kill them all? I'm like, oh, right, yeah, you'll do that.
I played two games with Epic Eresk today, and I remembered to make two tough checks.
Oh.
One of those games I coughed up 47 army points. Still won on scenario. It would be one tough check the entire game.
My second game, I gave up 53 army points. I had 53 of my army killed, and I won. And my third game, I had 54 points of my army killed, and I won. It was bloodbath. It was literally both games was Carver choose, right? And one random dude.
Yeah, Alt and Ashley. Hate that model now.
Oh,
Nis could not bring him down.
He was the best. Nis couldn't hit him, and then he killed two Nis in melee. Like, all these Nis were swarming him and just missing him. He's just like, kill you! Rolling nines.
That was rough.
Well, even speaking of that, like I managed to get Burrow Assassination on Chromac because, granted, my damage dice especially were hot. My attack hit dice were on target, but at the same time, thing if people saying you know, even if you know what a Burrow does, right? The Burrows get to places that you just can't predict,
right?
Yep. And they're vectors, and then Grim Feats, and then the Felcaller gives them Warcry, and suddenly fours go to effective nines, and you're hitting on sixes.
Those slug guns, I forgot how hard those things
are. Amazing.
How 14s, dude?
I know. It's like I've got my Manowar shock troopers just lined up. I'm like, whatever. They're going to pop up, throw some shots up there, and I'm like, ow! It hurts!
Yeah, that tickles, dude.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I had someone mess up is I think it was one or two opponents kept forgetting about primed. So I had primed Kayazi just jamming boom haulers, and he was like lining up boom haulers.
And then Prime pops, they
and then
blow
Prime
up.
Was popping, and then God. I would hit two boom haulers, and you'd fail tough checks. I'm like, well, yep, there you go. That's what you get.
I know.
You know that. See, Prime's coming, because I mentioned it multiple times.
My clutch difference against you was that when I did that, I just passed all my tough checks.
That was the
strategic decision. Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to pass all the tough checks in that Brigand army. It worked well.
Man, I remember the old Primed. Oh. Primed and Risen.
Well, that's the thing. It's the Mark. Old Primed-Risen interaction. Primed was the same. It was Risen that were different.
Yeah.
Because in Mark 1, for anybody who didn't play, you placed the Risen immediately when you got the corpse tokens. So something died, you would just place a Risen.
Oh.
So what would happen is you'd have the disgusting. Risen out there all primed. Someone would charge in, kill a Risen, it would explode, kill the guy, you just place a new Risen immediately. God help you, if that primed explosion kills two guys, you just bonused a Risen. So it was all these Risen coming out. It was amazing. I also liked Mark 1, if you were a Merc player, you needed to have a Seether handy in your case, because it was possible. Alexia's Dominate Undead wasn't just like one attack, you just took over the unit. And so you would take over the Wither Shadow, they would kill a Jack, and the Wither Shadow, when they kill a Jack, would make you a
Seether.
It couldn't be a Seether back then, it had to be a Slayer. But yeah, it would just make you a Slayer. You had to be a Slayer or a Reaper. It was specifically Slayer or Reaper.
Yep.
But yeah, so like Merc players needed to keep a Slayer handy in case that happened.
Crazy.
It's a nice continuation of our Mark 1 discussions from last week.
Such crazy stuff. Durgan had an infinite damage combo. That was beautiful.
Yep.
Good times.
I was one of those evil people who did the E. Haley Trenchers in Gear Deployment Zone.
Trenchers fuck themselves in Mark 1. That's what I'm hilarious. Like, I see people do threads on, like, how to fix Trenchers, which is fine. You know, Trenchers have some issues. And it's hilarious. You can tell the people have no desire for balance. They just want to have the shiniest toys.
No,
like, people are like, the Smoke Cloud shouldn't be an action. They should be an anytime ability.
Oh,
and
my God.
They should be able to place them anywhere within 6 inches. And it's like, you want literally your entire army to immune to attack for the entire game? That sounds fair. Like, that, it really sounds fair.
Yeah, the 10 menu, you could spread them out, and, like, your whole line could be completely.
Yeah, you'll just have a 30-inch line.
Yeah, and, like, if you're not Legion and can ignore it, you're boned.
For the Trenchers now, don't you have to have, like, your guys mathematically somehow
spaced
to, like,
yes.
Yeah.
No human being can do it in real life, but it is mathematically possible.
Unless you do movement trace.
Like
you can do movement trace.
It's like the Minuteman attack.
There was, like, a flow chart online or something. Somebody had a diagram or something.
Well, that's the thing with Minuteman. Like, you'd have people with the Minuteman jump where he'd be base to base, and you'd be in his front arc, but technically you're not in his melee range, which is mathematically provable. And people are like, it's mathematically possible, so let's just declare I have it. No. Place
yeah,
him. If you
it.
Have
yeah.
it, you have it. Prove yeah. it, jerk.
I think of the old school Trencher template. It would just be like one giant long template. And he's like, I put that down.
It's like it's 20-inch long.
Yeah,
just about. It was disgusting. And I mean, and that's the thing about it is, you know, just people in general don't know how to balance games. I mean, PP does a great job, I'm wrong. But I mean, just, going back to Trenchers and Mark 1 and all those, like,
go back to the Willith 2 and her
shooting your deployment zone.
Yeah, 56 shots into your deployment zone.
Or
Shadow
Shift.
Trebek.
Shadow Shift. Oh, still bad memory.
Oh,
Shadow Shift.
Nothing is more annoying than watching two Bane Knights go at it. Bane Knights. You know, Shadow Shift kill you. Why Shadow Shift kill you? I Shadow Shift kill you.
Another one of my
whose
favorite
turn is it?
Mark 1 interactions were Renegades. If they got knocked, somehow could get on a knockdown Warlock. And they had that, like, weird sustained, like, buzzsaw that would keep going on. So if you hit a knockdown Warlock, it's, like, good game.
It's if you damage them.
Yeah.
So the only hope was to not exceed armor. And that was one of the infinite damage combos. If you played two caster with Durgan and Magnus, because Durgan's feat in Mark 1 was everything does at least one damage. Mm-hmm. It was puncture. It was, you know, it's like, so whatever. Yeah. So if you knocked down their caster and then had a renegade get up to him under Durgan's feet, you just went, infinite damage.
And we're done.
Yeah, you're happy. Just walking around happy. Infinite damage.
This is actually hitting on one of my pet peeves. And the Kador forums are not as guilty as some of the others for it, but there's
all the forums are guilty.
This is true.
People come up with, let's fix Model X. And they're like, let's change the point cost. Let's change their stats. Let's do this. And they come up with all these crazy ideas that you cannot do. I mean, one, for just balance, but two, Privateer Press is not going to rewrite any existing models.
And their recommendations are always absurd. You know, like the trench.
Yeah. No, it was,
like,
yeah.
I realize none of my fixes will ever happen in my life, but, like, the fix I have, like, the freebooter, jury rig shouldn't cost a focus. Just take the damage. You know, then Shazam, the freebooter's a playable model. Gudrun should have perfect balance. Shazam. You know, there's such little tweaks, but oh well.
Yeah, but it's like for units at least, I feel like you know, the Mana Wars often come up because people are like, oh, they're overpriced, they don't do enough. And I think the Kovnik has filled a massive hole for the Shock Trooper.
Yeah.
So I always try and recommend to people, if you're going to be proposing like how to fix this model, fix it in ways that you actually have a prayer of seeing. You know, make recommendations.
External sources. External sources.
Yeah. You've got UAs available. You've got super solos available. You got new casters with new abilities. Mm-hmm. You know, make recommendations like that to try and, you know, propose things that might actually have a chance of seeing the light of day.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's actually why I'm the... And by the way, anyone out there who hates nicknames on models, I actually have to take the blame for nicknaming the Mountain King Bruce. Because after all of the Mountain... Seriously, there was like five or six Mountain King threads at one time that was on the front page of the Trolls Forum. And I just decided, I'm done. I'm done with these. All these threads die hard. And so, yet some poor fool always seems motivated to make another one. So I'm now calling my Mountain King Bruce.
Well, we have a guy in our area that named his Mammoth Kevin. Because we have a guy, Kevin, who thinks... elephants in general, OP, so he's like, I'm going to name my Mammoth Kevin.
Nice. So I guess we could probably go into that a little bit to kind of talk about what
elephants
things...
being OP?
Yeah.
Just throw flaming pigs at him.
We're just kind of what...
flaming pigs will fuck those elephants off.
Yep. No, I was thinking about, like, what would you fix? I mean, what are your suggestions for, like, a certain model or something like that?
I guess
we're just talking about against that.
Oh, no, well, like a, well-purter. External sources, right? Basically halfway between like a troll vassal and like a troll shepherd or something like that. Or basically it's you call it a whelp herder or whatever. And the idea is that if a troll eats a whelp, instead of healing, they can gain a bonus to something, right? That way it's much like the Stone Scribe Elder gives you that bonus thing on the stone.
It'd almost be like a choir.
Well, right. But what is it? It's like half vassal, half, you know, where in theory that was that one thing that fixes, that gives you a little bit extra bonus, helps the Mountain King maybe or whatever.
Maybe gives a mat or something like that.
Yeah, just
maybe
that one like, more mat six for the Mountain King would be huge. Ridiculous.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Just something like that. It's like a 2-point, you know, 5-wound model, 11, what was it, 12, 13 for the Stone Scribes or whatever the basic are, or something like that. Like a 2-point, 3-point model.
Yeah, well, yeah, almost like a Fury Volt for beasts.
Functionally, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I can see that.
And the Winter Guard Rifle Corps. Why can't they combine fire?
double guns?
The long guns get double shot. Why you don't even get that?
They're not as good as rifles. Yeah.
Sorry, that double guns was a mom reference.
You have Joe. You have Kovnik Joe. You don't need to worry about hitting anything. No,
what they need
basically
is,
you can boost the attack rolls with Kovnik Joe, but if he goes
maybe in your other list with your
With your Winter Guard and with Exortia.
Or if they made like an epic version of Kovnik Joe where he has some better stories to tell. You know? His story's gotta get pretty fucking boring every time he tells me about For the Motherland. I'm like, oh my god, here goes Kovnik Joe again.
I've only heard this 700 times already.
We wore an onion on our belt because that was the style.
There's that one Winter Guard that survived, got lucky and survived like every battle, and now he's just gonna keep hearing it.
But I always hear the rumor that the UA's coming out to fix that. So.
Well, that's everyone wants it. Yeah. Sluggers. Sluggers need a UA.
Poor Sluggers.
Yeah. Scattergunner's got a fuck of a UA.
Yeah. I love him. That's a
love success
him.
Story there.
I
Holy
love him.
Moly.
Yeah.
Clear is...
I'm glad they gave that ability to something so I could get it.
Quickwork is undervalued.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But no, I always thought the Mountain King, if it could get the Unbound rules for it, where you have +2 versus warrior models, for Matt. I think that would be perfect. It still doesn't fix it, having it go against, like, Circle Beasts or Crick's Jacks, you know, because their defense is so ridiculously high, you know.
My shout-out to the Searforge Loyalists, who I hate, is that if there was a Dwarf solo that had Lurisander's Touch and Disbinding. So target model slash unit gets magical weapons and then upkeep removal. Because those are the two things that Searforge are missing. And so if they put those two things on a little two-point support model,
If you only called it a character thing, they'd be away with it.
It's a character thing.
No, I just think that's the only way people would
be. I think they'll need Pathfinder, too, because I started playing Mercs. They need a weakness. So was Searforge. But I mean just something, when everything you have is speed four, like being able to at least ignore like rough terrain would be useful.
That's what the Colossal's for. Greedy. That's what the Earthbreaker's for. The Earthbreaker does that for you. Done.
I would be okay without the, like, magical weapons, and I think Lysander's Kiss.
No, you need that more. Searforge needs that more, because right now they have three magical weapons.
Arcanists, which work pretty well. Those guys have been champs for me every game I've brought them. I think Pathfinder is really what they need, or some way to speed up Forge Guard a little bit. I mean, Forge Guard's really...
They speed up Forge Guard by being 4 inches up the field already.
I guess that's true.
I mean, that is the answer to their slowness, is just the fact that you start 14 inches up the table.
Yeah, if you're playing specifically that contract. Yeah. I think Forge Guard outside of their contract is even better. If you're running them with, like, Ashlyn.
They speed them up. You quicken them, then they're speed 6, and now they've got a good threat range, and they hit like trucks.
Well, that's why Searforge Loyalists are stupid and wrong. There's nothing wrong with playing Searforge. There's everything wrong with playing only Searforge.
So I have one that's kind of left field. It's not any specific model or unit. One of the things that I think we see a very limited amount of on the table is Jack Marshals. And I would love to see things, you know, be it new casters coming out with spells where the Jack Marshal is affected by the spell, but the spell effectively benefits the Jack Sword, whatever that they're controlling.
One big thing, Jack Marshals without drives are stupid.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's a big issue. It's like the Jack Marshals you see are things like Thor or whatever. Like, drives are the big thing.
Mm-hmm. Not just that, but like the Cawdor one is amazing, but there are no non-character spray models in Cawdor. For example, because the boosted attack rolls, if it was a non-character Jack who had a spray attack, Man of War Covenant would be used all the time because that's an insanely disgusting drive at boosted attack rolls.
Yeah,
it's an amazing if you get a character non-character Thresher or non-character spray, that guy will see so much play because that's amazing drive. But right now, Cawdor has nothing with reach outside of the Spriggan and Beast, right?
Mm-hmm. So, I think even with something with Thresher, though, usually marshalling melee jacks is a bad idea. So, like, one of my lists, I actually had two Jack Marshall jacks, but one's a mule under gun mages, because I was going to do shit, or shoot.
It does shit, yes.
No. All it's going to do is just shoot using the rune shot from the
defecation.
That's what he said. Yeah, it works.
Is that what after you do after visiting Taco Bell?
Late night Taco Bell?
That's don't bad half an Taco
hour.
Bell.
No, Taco Bell is good, but within a half an hour, it's out.
It's like Iocane powder. I have built up an immunity to Taco Bell, man. I can eat that stuff, and my stomach's like, bring it. It comes from, like when I went there and I got a Taco 12 pack. Oh, man, they sell you 12 tacos. Yeah. And the lady's like, do you want any sauce? And I'm like, could you just put some fire sauce in there? And she put a whole bunch of different flavors, and she's like, I put some other flavors in there in case the other people want them. I'm like, it's adorable. Yeah. You think there's other people eating these 12 tacos? There are not.
That's actually one thing. I look at the Kovnik, the Minor War Kovnik, and I think he's an amazing drive. Like, but there's no Thresher, and there's no... Well, there's no sprays.
The other big problem with them is, you know, you're looking at most of the Kador casters to speed things up. You know, whether it's Escort or Vlad Speed or whatnot. The Kovnik himself is a speed 4 model. He's great with models that have chain attacks. So Berserkers are solid with him. Kodiaks are good with him.
Berserker. When I did Kador briefly, I put Berserkers on him. I thought it worked fairly well.
Yeah, because, I mean, Berserkers are only mat 5, which kind of sucks. But the boosted attack, boosted damage rolls...
You put him with a balanced charge cast or something like that, so you can give him Pathfinder.
Yeah, exactly. You balance charge him from an external source.
I can see that.
You do the drive, because you can drive and then run, so he can get up there. You drive him, you run up, you balance charge thing, and then it's boom, 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 boom.
Well, the Kovnik, it's still...
It was nice, even if he died, Berserkers aren't too bad on their own.
And Matt 5, they're not going
to... Yeah, but you still run charge for free.
They run charge for free. They'll do their thing. They're cheap. They'll get in the way.
And Gobnik's pretty survivable, too. Was he, like, well, 17 with 8 boxes or something like that? So it's not, like, one little one-off attack will knock him out, which is...
Yeah. No, and he's also a slam source, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that slam.
Well, yeah, doesn't he have a pretty good
Boker
gun
catches
or something?
People off guard with that, too. He's got... His gun is legit, yeah.
Yeah.
His rat's cannon or whatever. He has
an axe cannon.
If he had reach, he'd have even more legit, but he doesn't have reach.
As a budding Crix player, I like hearing a lot of Jack Marshalls because I like my machine wraiths.
Which is why Seer Forge needs their magical.
Yeah,
it is stupid. That is now my fourth rule. Well, it's not a core rule; it's a mod ability. It is stupid. That when you eject a machine wraith via damage, it does not exit until the Crix player's maintenance phase. That is stupid.
I agree. It's stupid. It should be ejected immediately.
It should be ejected immediately so you can try and kill it. You damage it, and they're like, oh, okay, I'll go out next turn. And then it leaves and goes, oh, I'm going to go into that jack. And like, what the fuck? Like, how is that? What? Yeah.
Somebody with a Jack Marshall, they lose that jack
forever
to a machine wraith for the rest of the game.
For the rest of the game.
Yep.
Like, why is it not ejected immediately? And how in no playtesting did somebody go, wait, that's the stupidest thing ever?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely should leave immediately. It should be the same way as when the Warcaster ejects it. It ejects it immediately.
Yeah, it gets booted, and then you can try to kill it and get your jack. Yep. Like, you think about it for 2 seconds, like, oh, it leaves in my maintenance phase, so I get to just go back right in? Yeah. So what's the point? There isn't. Okay, good to know. Like,
you're bringing that jack for me.
How did that end up on the final version of the model?
Yeah. I guess the one thing I like to see change, not so much model-wise, but release-wise, I like to see, like, with the last Hordes book, there's not any models out, and they're bringing out War Machine models now. I don't know if that's even, like, what the schedule is, how they do stuff, but I would like at least one book to come out before new stuff comes out from
Brian's
another book, I guess.
Brian's favorite piece of trivia is that Crix hasn't had a model released in a year now.
13, going on 14 crazy. Months. Well, the one thing is about it, that's actually one thing, though, from a store perspective, is that it's the PP model always has something, in theory, always has something new for every faction in general, so it keeps players involved, outside of Crix, obviously, who are apparently being kicked
but
in the balls
general.
Right now. But in general, it's better, because obviously from the GW model, oh, you haven't had a faction release in, 5 years, congratulations.
Oh, you play Bretts? Go fuck yourself for a decade.
Yeah.
Actually, a decade.
Yeah.
We figured that out last podcast.
I got Wood Elves in a consignment lot, and their book is 6 years old now?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
A decade for Bretonians.
Old.
Yeah.
Fucking decade.
I think dwarves are getting up there. I think they're like 6 or 7 years
old. Dwarves had 2 releases since then.
Oh, did they? Really?
They destroyed Chaos Dwarves years ago.
Well, that was 5th edition.
They're in 9th now, or 8th now.
They're in 8th and 9th is coming out, I think, next year.
Yeah. Wood Elves aren't expected to get a new book until...
Maybe the game will not suck eventually.
Maybe.
Fingers crossed.
7th edition was fine.
But you're not going to be able to afford to buy anything.
You have to pull out a mortgage on your house.
Any 20 units, you have to buy them in packs of 5 for like $70 in your soul. Wow.
And what's with this, with having 2 rule books for one faction?
Yeah.
They have the supplement. If you want all the rules to the faction, you can buy 2 of them.
And you got
to
keep in mind, the supplement rules are where the really good shit is. That's where, like, oh, your army's decent. Now you buy this extra $50 book that's 3 pages, and now it's broken.
But you're not allowed to play the game at their stores. If you want to play our game, don't do it in our store, goddammit.
Just buy the models and take them home.
Well, speaking of which, random trivia fact about them being evil, they destroyed the business partnership between Beast of War and their store they had been doing work with. They basically said, if you do business with Wayland Games supports you, they will deny all shipments to Wayland Games. So Beast of War actually has to cut off their completely.
Well, didn't they do that with... people overseas were ordering from websites or something, and then they said shut the websites down?
That was 6 years ago.
That was six years ago.
Now it's even worse, because now it's not only can you not sell, not can you not have it, the pictures, now you can't even sell it at all, period.
There you go. I liked when there was a company that was selling star players for Blood Bowl that GW didn't sell. Like, they were literally ones you could not buy. And so GW, instead of just sending them a cease and desist or whatever, they said, if they don't stop selling these models, we won't release the next version of Blood Bowl.
Yeah. Because
they couldn't stop them. Because it was like something with you can name the guy, but because you don't have a physical model of it, you can still make it or something like that and get around the copyright.
Well, and even Sten, even if there's copyright, you could I can sell a little pewter rat with three arms and two heads.
Yeah.
Nothing's stopping me from selling a little pewter rat with three arms and two heads.
And what's now, just go to those Russian or Chinese sites where you can get all your GW stuff cheaper.
Like, even still,
it would just take a while to get, but it's cheaper.
Yeah, if another company's pissing off, sue the company. Don't tell your fans, by the way, we're not going to let you play the game anymore. Fuck you, GW.
Yeah,
assholes.
Basically.
They're just assholes. That's the issue with them. It's not even their games are bad. They're just assholes.
No, they're great. They're
shutting
great.
Down fan sites.
Yeah.
That guy who's getting a tattoo of like the big eagle on his back, and they're like, "Oh, that's a trademark symbol. You can't have that tattoo."
Shut up, really?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. They're
so
hard
it was like
about
half
that.
Done. Like he was doing it in stages, and he was like posted pictures online. And they're like, "That's a copyrighted image."
Unbelievable.
Like this guy is demonstrably a big fan. This guy demonstrably likes you, and you're no. Here's the thing. Here you go. Fuck off. You got any like loved ones we can rape to death while we're at it?
I'm going to punch your wife in the face while I'm telling you this.
Just assholes.
Yeah. Well, that went dark quick.
Is it so hard to just not be assholes, GW? Just try it sometime. Just think to yourself, are we being assholes? And if the answer is yes, don't.
Exactly. Well, that's what happens when your company is run by a committee that doesn't care about anything but the bottom dollar. I mean, I'm sure there's some people in that company who absolutely just, you know, roll their eyes every time something new comes out. They're like, and they're just, shoving it to the player.
The dollar is what matters. You're a company. We can't be disillusioned about that. But there's a point where, like, we can make X dollars and our fans can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can make X plus $1 and fuck them royally.
Yeah. And just
and
jam it right in.
There's a point where that extra $1 isn't worth fucking them royally. You know?
No, aren't they publicly traded?
No, that's what became it. You can actually trace their evilness almost explicitly, in my opinion, when they went public.
I think that's probably part of it then, because now, you know, it's just investors trying to squeeze money out of it. That would be my assumption.
The investors don't have a say in it a lot of times.
Well, the board or whoever it is
to
keep
it's a group
position.
Of 12 people.
That's what the board of directors and two deputy members and the shareholders.
But I guarantee those 12 people don't play the game.
No, I
highly doubt it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, that's one thing that's kind of cool with Privateer Press is they actually had, it was like a IT guy was posted on their website showing the modeling and stuff that he was doing. Not even like, was it Will Hungerford and some of the other ones?
Yep.
But that was kind of cool. Like, oh yeah, this other guy that works there doesn't, not even, I think, yeah, it was an IT manager or something. Like, some guy that's not even directly involved with the games, like, excited about him, like, doing stuff and posting. Like, it's cool.
Or there's stuff like the Gobber Tinker.
Mm-hmm.
You know why that guy exists?
Nope.
They just made, like, a guy sculpted them, and they're like, oh, that's cool. Let's make rules for it.
Nice.
Well, that's actually the thing.
Because it's cool. Because it was a cool model, so they made rules for it. Like, come on. That's cool. That's a love of the game, you know?
For sure.
Well, let's move on before I get depressed about how much of an asshole GW are.
Well, we could just jump to Zappity Grumble.
Oh,
we could just do a quick lightning round. I like it. I liked how we did it last time, where we did it really kind of sped.
Actual
really
lightning
fast.
Round. That's the
like
concept.
like how it's supposed to be.
I don't know if you knew, but when they say lightning round, they're not it's not lightning round. It's not talking about being like attractive with like spotlight stuff. It's supposed to be fast.
Oh. What?
Yeah.
You have 30 seconds on the clock.
Yeah. 30
right.
second shot clock.
So everybody familiar with the Zappity Grumble?
Yeah.
Function.
All right.
It's like a flippity blop with a little bit of Pootie Tang in it.
All right, we'll just start off right away. If you could choose one spell that is not your preferred faction, what spell would that be?
What? Oh, and move it to your faction?
Yeah probably.
Sure.
That trolls need Excarnate.
Actually, for trolls, I think arguably it would have to be Arcane Shield, just because I just might as well.
Jesus Christ. I want plus five everything now.
Let's just be stupid.
Yeah.
I haven't had no special spells that we just got Grievous Wound, so
there's no spells that you wish were in your faction,
like Purification on Ezerkova.
Yeah,
the counter spell. I don't know.
He's got none.
He's got nothing. I'll take Strength of Granite
for your pigs.
No, for Convergence.
No, fuck that.
I'll put Strength of Granite on that.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, on the Prime Maxim.
No, I would put Strength of Granite on my Cypher in my Axis list so that it can counter slam or whatever.
At 21.
Counter slamming Strength of Granite and then activating a Strength of Granite. Yeah, that'd be good times.
It's bad enough that
21, excuse you, 22?
Oh, it's a plus one.
Yeah, it's bad enough that that goddamn Earthbreaker's
getting
that
thing. Shut up.
Oh, it's going to be sweet. All right, I would say, is it Bloodlust, the one that makes Weapon Masters? I would love that in Mercs.
The Cotter version or the Blood Fury version out of Trolls?
The Madrak, probably.
I'm not sure what Blood Fury does off the top of my head.
It's the same thing, just different effect.
Yeah.
It's Weapon Master, like minus two defense or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, either one would be fantastic.
For one's an upkeep and one's out. That's a little different.
Yeah. The one Midas has, there's no downside. It's Weapon Master and Fearless. And it's spammable.
Yeah, it's Battle. That's Battle Lust.
Yeah, that's Battle Lust.
Yeah, Battle Lust. Yeah, I'll take Battle Lust.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be disgusting.
Give me a Crippling Grass and Legion.
Oh! I changed my mind. Every list ever wants Roth's Mercy. I'll take Roth's Mercy.
As far as not being crazy overpowered, just a little overpowered, I'd take Snipe and Kador.
No,
it's not horror bad.
Yeah, not horrible, but
Kovnik Jode sniped rifle horde would be pretty nice.
Oh yeah, you know, like a
hurry Rocketeers.
Yeah. No, fuck that.
I already used snipe
behemoth.
fire for effect behemoth. That's not. No, I can't have both.
No,
we're still sniping.
When we play Who's the Boss, and I got a caster that had snipe, I put it on my Rocketeer.
Good time.
It was good.
And let's just cut to the chase and have transference and retribution, so that the Mage Hunter assassins can really.
No, Vlad feet.
Need more help.
Okay, Max. That was slow. Oh, Zappity.
Grumble.
I don't say next. What the fuck's wrong with
Jesus.
You?
What are you,
I'm
Jeremy?
Sick. I'm hopped up on Vicodin. I'm so high right now.
aside from Ephiora, who runs the Judicator best?
Sevi. P. Sevi.
I'm not familiar with that. So.
Okay.
What? It's what I have learned is that synergy is good with Colossals. So I'll go with Amon.
I would say P. Kreas. You knock them down, blow them all up.
Is that Epic Sevi that has vision? You
no, P. Sevi.
That's P. Sevi. I'll go P. Sevi then.
Yeah, that and I'm enough.
I would say it doesn't matter because Butcher 3 will kill it in one round.
All right.
Zap.
Grumble. What does Pharaoh need to be more competitive?
Something equal to Posse.
What?
They need something equal to Posse. They need a unit.
You're saying they need multi-win media base.
Yes. Multi-win media base. As long as they got their Gatorman Posse, if they got Pharaoh Posse, they'd be awesome.
Yeah, I thought you said pussy.
Well, we're not talking about Rancor and Seer Forge.
They need sows? Is that what the Pharaoh need? They need more sows.
Every pig player on the planet has the exact same answer. Pork node.
Yeah.
Done and done.
Yep.
Pork node.
Yep.
Oh, my God. If the Razor Wars Animus was like a self cost two where they became an arc node,
every turn.
Happy day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
especially Arcadius.
Yeah, we all, yeah, well, most of our podcasts.
Arcadius has Crippling Grass, Midas has Calamity. The only one who wouldn't want it is Carver. Because you have TK on Sturmandring. Yep. So good. So good.
Our podcast, I think pretty much the majority of us believe that Arcadius is probably easily one of the best casters in the game, just doesn't have the utility.
You put Arcadius in literally any other faction, you've broken the game.
Yeah.
He's broken.
Who's the boss? He's easily top insane. One. It's awesome to see Frenzy and Warjax.
Yeah. His spell list is golden. Oh, Zappity.
Grumble. Brian Culp asked me why I no love him. Because
he's dumb. You suck, Culp. Zappity.
Grumble. Dark Legacy asks, who is Professor Lust for reals?
Is that guy.
He's right there.
He's here.
Yeah, he met you. I don't understand.
My name is Matt Lust. I'm findable on Facebook as facebook.com/Dr. Lust.
He actually is Professor Lust. Yeah. That's not a handle. That's his title and name.
Yeah. Granted, I started
Dr. Norbert's actually not a doctor.
Yeah.
Are you a Mr. Ruffles?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Okay.
We're all misters, but you know.
And I am a Rydia fan.
Yeah.
I'm not Major Tusk, though.
Ooh. You fail. That's that Rick guy.
Yeah, you are
that
Rick guy.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with that other guy.
Yeah. All right. Whatever.
Zappy.
Grumble. How will 3D printers affect the miniature gaming world in the next few years?
not significantly.
They're too expensive. Yeah, they're not going to be mainstream
prices,
enough.
Prices are coming down.
But even still.
Yeah, in order to get the kind of quality you're looking for tabletop play, you're still in the well over $1,000 range, and the production speed on them is slow. It's not like, you know, once you make a vulcanized mold of something and you can spin out, you know, $100 in metal in, you know, an hour. You know, it's going to take you days to print a unit.
So, it's more likely to affect terrain building. You can get out walls and buildings and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I've seen some really cool kits that people have done where they literally print just four walls with, you know, like binding points already there. So it takes you like 5 minutes to build a house. Sure, it takes, you know, an hour to print one wall, but, you know, it's not that big of a deal. You don't have to have nearly as fine of quality. So I don't see them affecting tabletop games at all.
People aren't going to be printing their own Death Jacks at home.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Not at this time,
money
no.
Money investment is going to be nuts right now for it,
I think. They're getting cheaper. High quality. But the quality's not quite there, the price is not quite there, and the speed is definitely not there.
Yeah.
Yep.
True story.
True story.
Zappity.
Grumble. Okay, so we're off over to Facebook land. Who would your celebrity freebie be?
If you're
in a relationship, I assume
my wife actually allowed me to say Anne Hathaway.
Mine is Brooke Burke. I loved her since Wild On. Still love her.
Scarlett Johansson.
Kinsia Solo. She's from Lost Girl. She has the most beautiful eyes ever.
We're not talking about the crazy Russian one, right?
Crazy
Russian girl?
Black Swan and is on Lost Girl. And she's actually going to play the Han Solo's kids, coincidentally, because her last name is Solo. She is a gorgeous. Coincidentally, she's also my fiance's freebie.
Nice.
She's like, I'd be gay for her. I'm like, I don't blame you.
Slightly awkward note. My wife has given me one freebie, and it's actually Major Tusk. She's like, you can't cheat on me unless you're doing Andy.
I saw a great thing once where like this couple was doing their freebie list and she went first. She's like, you know, Brad Pitt and Pierce Brosnan, whatever, blah, blah. He's like, all right, my turn. The babysitter, your sister. Like, by the way, are these retroactive? Zappity.
Grumble. So you're forced to play Gunbjorn in a 50-point list.
I'm sorry.
What do you do to take? What do you take as to not get your ass totally handed to you?
Loaded dice.
It's the buy.
If the Sluggers had a not crappy UA that let them like give Zephyr or something else that we could move in shoot the D3, it would be like my ideal list is though is double slag, double bomber, impaler. And that way, and then basically you run screening, you run thin blades, you run something else to keep them off you. Yeah. And then you basically just try to abuse the heck out of guided fire.
When I ran them, I did that, but I did a double bomber and a blitzer. And just, like I said, use all his fury every turn and just cross your fingers. You kept a wall in front of him from Janessa just for the cover and just hope you don't get hit. And just guided fire, spend it all, maybe keep one so that all your heavies can boost as much as possible. And just throw out blitzer. Yeah.
I think it's really going to be
as many guns dependent as possible. It's just abuse guided fire and cross your fingers.
Yeah.
I played Trolls today, and I bust out that Epic Irisk list with 20 mana wars and watched as my opponent just did nothing. I think I lost one model that game. I mean, at the end of the game, I had mana wars probably 28 inches off of the back of my side of the board. And, you know, it's like mana wars are not supposed to go that far across the board. They're supposed to get like two turns of movement, then just be buried. And it was just, you know, nothing but stuff bouncing off of armor 21.
So Gunbjorn should take mana wars? Is that your point?
Well, yeah. I'm saying that it's going to be matchup dependent. If I ran my other list, you know, where I'm like armor 16, you know, stuff is saying there, you know, it's a lot of the scatter gunners are going to be taking it out.
I did something.
He just pooped himself a little.
Yeah, no, I just had some pop in my head.
Oh, yeah, he had an epiphany.
No, Gunbjorn, he needs Reinhold.
Yeah.
That's not.
That would be so bad.
Badoom!
So
ba-doom.
Good. That would be the best thing
my
ever.
Favorite thing is taking Gunbjorn, attacking something that's 3/4 of an inch away from you, and getting the crit. And then your head explodes.
Yeah. Which way do I go?
How are you thrown away from yourself? Zappity.
Grumble. Somebody's asking, when will they make Kador competitive again?
I didn't know they weren't.
Yeah. I didn't think they were.
I think it's
just a lack of showing, maybe, for them.
Everybody thinks their own faction isn't competitive.
Well, not just that, but also, if all you do is do Iron Flesh, you're going to get your teeth kicked in, because there's so much AoEs right now. Yep. Right?
Well, yeah.
The best guns in the game right now belong to AoEs. You're going to get your butt handed to you if you run nothing but Iron Flesh.
If your question is, what does it take to make Kayazi competitive again, that's different than what does it take to make Kador competitive again.
Yeah. I think thinking outside the box is what makes Kador competitive, is when you bring things that people don't expect. I mean, like Jordan... Jordan runs Doom Reaver spam, and it's spam, but it works. Mm-hmm. You know, it catches people off guard seeing 36 Doom Reavers come flying towards them. Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's definitely different than seeing the goddamn Death Star again.
Do the
assassins again.
Epic Sorsha with all of the precision models. Where you take out everything's cortexes and spirits and then feed on them and they can't shake.
Regular Sorsha, you said.
Regular Sorsha. Sorry. Regular Sorsha. Take, precision models.
Or even Keith has a really cool dojo on that with Eorsk.
Yeah.
And running double Black Fang. And then you're abusing the hell out of Arcus of Deviation.
Wasn't that... Oh, it was that one. But then there's one, too, where you take Black Dragon with the new Butcher, Grievous Wounds in one unit, like two guys, you do a couple of combined, they knock out a spirit, and they can't heal. And then the beasts become useless.
That's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
Scary.
So our answer to that is Kador is competitive.
Just don't.
I think
somebody as bad as me can go 2-2 at a decent-sized tourney, Kador's got to be doing something.
Yeah, I think maybe it's because they just don't have I don't want to say an easy button, but you look at casters like E. Gatsby, E. Haley, where it's like...
Well, you just can't run double iron.
They don't have crazy trick. Yeah, they had Iron Flesh. That was their thing, and now that's not as good anymore, there's this perceived thing that I think that they can't be competitive anymore.
Yeah, but there's some great Kador lists out there. Jordan was playing one today that was almost all Cav, is the Vlad 2 list, or Vlad 3.
With the Cav,
The Outriders are so great.
Old Witch, she's amazing. Why don't I ever see people playing
she's
Old
also
Witch?
Good too.
Old Witch, I played the heck out of her when I first started playing Kador, and
so
I loved
sexy.
Her. And
Sorsha 1?
Just mix it up, people.
Yeah, even Hark. I mean, just having Speed 6 Kador Jax and a feat turn where your armor 23 across the board is just gravy.
I really think Arkovich is one of the underplayed casters.
Like 6 units of Mana Wars.
He's
and I was
so
doing
hard.
Kador. He was my favorite played caster. I didn't do overly well with him, but man, he was fun.
No, well, not just a specific one. You've got different kinds of Mana Wars.
Yeah.
Play a dozen units of Mana Wars. Do whatever.
the Mana War Bombardiers just can't make it to the table.
But yeah.
I mean, they're too
You got Shock Troopers and Demo Corps.
Yeah, I love the Shock Troopers now that we have the Iron Fang Kovniks. Yeah. That filled the exact hole they had.
Oh, you're doing it wrong. Calm down. Zappity.
Grumble. Our next question here is from a celebrity who's from Springfield.
You don't mean Cool Kurt.
I do mean Cool Kurt.
Cool Kurt! He's from Springfield.
He is from Springfield. It's awesome.
Not St. Louis?
Not St. Louis. No, he's...
No.
Wait. No. Are you talking about Cool Kurt?
Cool Kurt. He's from Springfield.
From Springfield.
There's some guy from St. Louis, but that's not Cool Kurt.
No. Is that Alex? Is Alex from...
Alex is from Springfield. Or from St. Louis.
I thought Alex is from St. Louis.
Right, and Cool Kurt's from Springfield.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Sam's from Shelbyville.
Vodka gummies, rummy bears, or tequila bears?
Yes.
All yes?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
Happy day.
Although, to be fair, just drink the tequila and then eat some gummy bears. The process of combining them is unnecessary.
Grumble. Nathan, please rage about what you hate the most about War Machine.
We did
related
that.
For 5 minutes straight.
No, we're going to do the hour-long rant sometime.
Yeah, we'll just record that. Awesome.
I'm going to go insane for an hour.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. We're going to get new mics, everything for that. All right, go ahead.
What? No, I'm not going to do it. We got guests. I'll do that on a regular day.
No, grumble.
Oh, there you go. Jesus.
That's what we were waiting for.
Go ahead and rant.
That's what I was waiting for.
Sorry.
I think I just, accidentally moved. You know what Jack Burton says at a time like this?
Stand tall, shake the heavens.
The check's in the mail.
It's all in the reflexes.
It's all in the reflexes. That movie's amazing.
It is.
The movie's so good.
All of my WoW characters are misnamed characters from that movie.
My favorite way of looking at that movie now, it's what I always say to describe it. I think, I don't remember, like, the somebody involved in the movie said that this is how you're supposed to look at it. It might have even been the director. But basically, that movie, Jack Burton is the sidekick, and the cameraman didn't get the memo. Because Wang is the kung fu guy. He kills villains. He's doing all this stuff. He's awesome. Jack Burton's just this idiot sidekick, goofy moron. And the cameraman just keeps pointing the camera at him for no good reason. Zappy.
Crumble. Favorite stand-up comedian?
Louis C.K.
Joe Rogan.
Well, you took Louis C.K., so I might as well go a little bit older and Chris Rock.
Beth.
He's all in.
All the comedians I know are
Daniel
dead.
Tosh.
Right? Rodney Dangerfield. He likes Rodney Dangerfield.
George Carlin is always my favorite, dead. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. You can watch the older stuff, man.
Yeah, you got to go with Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard was super solid. He's crazy about marathons now. Like it's really? Kind of crazy. Like, I was listening to him on NPR because I'm that weird.
does he run them in pumps?
Someone who doesn't as much. No. Dave Attell. Was amazing.
Oh, yeah. His old show, Somnia. Somnia was great.
Specifically, the CD Skanks for the Memories is one of my favorite CDs. It's amazing.
I just started listening to that as well.
Skanks for the Memories is great.
On Spotify.
His story about when he got a hernia trying to poop too fast is amazing.
I have not gotten to that point yet.
Oh, yeah.
Is that...
It's like he's doing his business and all of a sudden he hears the Simpsons theme music start.
Oh, and he wants to just...
And it's disastrous.
Oh my god.
He's up on one leg trying to Dukes and Hazard it out. That's how he describes it. Oh god, I love David Tell. Zappity.
Grumble. Best domestic beer, if you had to pick one?
Domestic High Life, I guess.
Well,
I wouldn't even pick. I like microbrews.
Yeah, anything local brewed.
Those are good. You know what? My brother got me into Stella. Hoity-toity, foreign beer, whatever. Stella cost a fortune. And then one day, I was at a fish fry in Milwaukee, and they had Dollar Schlitz.
Yeah.
And I ordered a
Schlitz.
That's
not bad for a dollar, yeah.
Dude, not only that bad for a dollar, I'm like, dude, this tastes like Stella. So, like, Schlitz, the beer that made Milwaukee famous, shockingly good. And dirt cheap.
If it isn't beer, it isn't a Schlitz.
Yeah.
Or it's when not you, a beer when, if it isn't a Schlitz.
Which was it Schlitz that was when you've run out of Schlitz, you're out of beer? Or was that somebody else?
I think it's probably similar to that, too. But yeah, Schlitz is awesome.
Shockingly good for how cheap it is. Yep.
I don't drink much for beer, but I recently stumbled into Blackthorn Cider. It's really good. It's not quite as dry as Strongbow. It's not quite as sweet as Woodchuck.
It's also not domestic, either.
Is it?
Yep. No. Yep. So it's not a beer or domestic. You suck. Exactly.
Grumble. Oh, my God. This is so
faster!
Much. What new units should PP make, such as new huge bases or Warcaster units, etc.?
Gotcha.
Let's just wait till they come out.
Like an extra type of unit.
I call it's 80mm bases, and we call them instead of they basically call them they call them extra large bases instead of large bases, and you just call them super heavies.
Super heavies would be kind of neat.
An 80mm super heavy.
15
you get your big, warp wolf. You get your big carnivoran. Your big whatever.
You get your Resheth.
Yes.
The extreme. The extreme. Just make the extreme.
Yeah.
I'm just bigger now, it's all, everything's delicious. I'm delicious. Oh, that's delicious. So delicious. Chapelet. Grumble.
Best rage quit you've ever seen?
I saw a guy, like, smash the table, almost table flip it, where it, like, hopped up and came crashing down and broke a couple models, both opponent sides. That's the best I've ever seen.
Awesome. I watched Rick punch a table.
Really?
I have punched so many tables.
It wasn't actually in a rage quit. He rage quit afterwards because he went
broke my freaking hand.
He like was trying to reach for some kind of model on the table, and he just punched it. Just bam.
I've done that like 3 times now.
Yep.
Every time I swear I break my hand.
Hold on. I've also witnessed a member of this podcast throw a certain Ashlyn across the room. That was...
Was that Katie?
No.
Ryan?
No, the only other member of the podcast that's on a normal member, you know, that's here regularly.
Oh. So, Jeremy. Was it you?
It was you.
Oh, is that
It was Nathan.
I never took all my dice outside, lined them up in a circle, put one offending member in the middle of the circle, and set it on fire so the others could watch it melt before, did I? Wait, I did do that. And then the melted disc that was left behind, I punched a hole in it, and I had it, like, as a medallion so I could show, like, anytime my dice were bad, I could bring it out and be like, this will happen to you. Oh, it felt so good melting that die. Zappity.
Grumble. Okay. If a truck leaves Seattle at 1350, traveling 70 miles per hour, and a train leaves London at 2:10 a.m., traveling 120 kilometers per hour, how long before a dog lands on the moon?
42.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Zappity.
Grumble. How much would you pay per night for a room in a house 2 blocks from Disneyland, 3 blocks from a game store?
What?
I don't know if I want to live 2 blocks from Disneyland.
I don't know. Yeah. It's 2 blocks from like...
2 blocks from Disneyland.
No.
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 It's too expensive. I couldn't afford to go there.
Nickel. Yeah.
Not just that, but I just don't desire it.
Yeah.
It has no value for me.
It's Florida.
That's California, actually.
Yeah, Disney World is all Florida.
Disney
now,
World
Euro Disney, Disney on the other hand. Good times.
Yeah. You make sure you're 3 blocks away from
20
the red light district.
Yeah. Use ruples in France? I don't know.
Euros. Whatever.
Euros.
Whatever. It's in money.
Mayos.
What the?
Zappity.
Crumble.
Not paying Bitcoin.
How? And this is from Alex Shaver. How can we make the show more racist?
Have you on again, man.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to talk about how awful black people are when there isn't a black person on the table, because then it isn't funny, it's just awful.
Black person on the table?
Yes. At the table.
I love you, Nate.
Grumble.
I might get my sociologist card revoked for that statement.
I'm just saying. You can be ironically racist when somebody's there. Otherwise, it's just actually racist.
Oh my god! I did. You know when I posted this on a Saturday, I did not expect this many.
Just read faster, Zappity.
All right, Grumble. How do you keep Steelhead Cavalry from getting shot off the table before it does anything in Mercs?
Countermeasures.
Quicken.
Don't put them on the table.
That sounds good.
Zappity.
Grumble. What do you think would be the most tender, concerted, and loving nerd famous War Machine player?
It's me. You're welcome. Come here, baby.
Nerd. I don't
that
know.
Goes right into
Will
the next
Wheaton?
One here. I'm just going to say it's sexiest
hey,
meta.
Sweetheart. You know what I like about you the most? Your eyes. Come here and snuggle a little bit, sugar lumps. You need a back rub? You've had a hard day.
Are we going to have to record like an hour of Nathan?
Yeah, that's the Dr. Love version. Nathan Love.
Actually, you know who's really good in bed because he's got all that European mojo going on is that Swedish
Swedish Muslim Jeremy.
Yeah.
That's been a while since he's been freaky. On our podcast.
Man, he showed me some pictures. I didn't think that stuff was allowed according to the Torah, but or the Quran, whatever Muslims use.
that's how you get more racist.
I don't know. I'm not Muslim. The Swedish guy is.
Is this your last day as a press ganger?
Oh, my God. That was a slip of the tongue, I swear.
All right. So we're done with that. So we go into recommendations. This is a quick... Does anybody want a quick start recommendation?
I'll go with Grand Theft Auto.
The new one or just
the newest one?
Just the five, PS1 top-down.
Yeah, the top-down. There is a Nog 5. It looks amazing. It's an awesome game. Open world. I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's phenomenal. And just the way it looks, you know, it's just
isn't
awesome.
That a, like a Saints Row ripoff?
Kind of. It's okay. Santos again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Saints Row was out way back in the day, and now Grand Theft Auto's out.
Yeah.
I like the ability to change characters in there.
Yeah, that's really cool, too. Yep.
The fact that you can go back to a character and you see him doing something else, because they're not actually just sitting in their house. They're all actively doing something. You were telling a story about how you switched over to Trevor.
Yeah, and he woke up drunk with a dress on in, like, the middle of the hills. And, like, okay. And you're like, what was happening?
I cut to one of the main characters who's the head bank robber. For some odd reason, he was just biking around the city in a 10 speed. For no apparent reason.
Just biking.
Doing
some exercise.
Yeah. I don't know. The game is great. Mm-hmm. It's legit. So, anybody next?
Let's hear it. The Gamers 3 came out at Gen Con.
Really? I didn't know that.
Big fan of the series. If you've never seen The Gamers,
good. Yep.
Gamers 1 and 2 are basically a movie of guys playing D&D and then those same people playing their D&D characters.
Yeah, it's the in-story and out-of-story simultaneously filmed.
Backstab them with the blister.
Yeah.
Hide behind the mountain of my corpses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So if you're an RPG player, those are great movies to watch. The third movie just came out. It's more of a traditional style movie. They still do a little in character, out of character stuff, but you know, there's an actual plot line that's going along.
Was it the second one where the guy kept forgetting he was playing a female character, so he would be like a male, and then, oh wait, that's right, and then the female would like get cut in.
That was the first one, wasn't it?
That was the second one.
That was in the second one? Oh. Yeah.
The first one was with the guy who never showed up, so the his character would just sit there staring into the
screen. Yeah, the second one.
Yeah. All right, guys, I gotta go.
I recommend brushing your teeth.
Yeah. That's good.
There's a story to behind that.
No, well, it's an easy habit not to have. And it may not have bitten you in the ass yet, but it's going to. It's going to bite you in the ass real, real hard.
I know why.
Well, I mean, I actually had, like, a couple years ago, I had a tooth just die on the right side of my face and just cracked. And now, so I just don't have, I lost a tooth just because I never brushed my teeth over there. So, because I suck. And so I've started trying to be better, but it's, like, too late. Like there's decay done. And so, like, I'm just fighting a losing battle. And so it's going to cost me a fortune. And, like, my jaw was hurting earlier this week, so I set up a dentist appointment, and so I went in on Friday morning because I had Friday off, and the dentist was like, oh, so your tooth was infected, and it's the tooth's not infected anymore, it's spreading to your actual face tissue, and that means it's going to spread to your brain and kill you if we don't tear that tooth out now. So 10 minutes later, I was having a tooth torn out of my face, and they're like, yeah, so you almost just died, so keep that in mind. So brush your fucking teeth. Like, it's so easy not to. Do it.
The more you know.
Oh my god, just fucking brush your teeth.
So how much money do you get for the tooth?
You
got a bill?
I got a bill. I can try. I'll put the bill under my pillow and see if anything happens. Hint, it ain't gonna fucking happen. I'm just glad, like medical insurance is pretty expensive and whatnot, but dental if you have a full-time job, double check, because even if you don't sign up for your health insurance, because health insurance can be pretty fucking expensive even through work, your dental insurance is going to be like $2. It's going to be something absurdly cheap each paycheck, and use it.
No, it's true.
That's my recommendation. Somebody else start talking.
Well, you want to start with gravity?
Go ahead.
The last thing, I mean, mostly just because I've been kind of just hammering through a bunch of TV shows with my wife, but I don't know if I've ever talked about it, but just generally finding a series that you can enjoy with somebody else, even if it has to be somebody else, just anybody else, just watching something, even or like gamers or anything like that, just doing anything that you can share with someone else makes that experience so much better. Because then you can actually talk about it. Because, I mean, I don't know how many people have nerd friends. I'm sure maybe most people do. But generally, if you don't have a nerd friend, find one and enjoy something with them.
Well, it's like we all would come here and watch Breaking Bad as a group. We watch Game of Thrones as a group. And that's just, you know, it's kind of cool to have the group thing. Yeah.
It's just because then it's shared. It's communal. It's, you know, in essence, it's the quintessential social aspect.
Yeah.
The girl that I keep in the crawl space underneath the stairs. I let her out, and we watch. Yeah. We watch sometimes Breaking Bad. And
I thought you were going to say she was communal access.
No.
Oh, that's wrong on multiple levels.
And there's other things you can share with friends, but you shouldn't.
Hepatitis.
Yeah,
that's one of them.
Okay.
Unless your friend likes it,
if you're into it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the thing. I don't think you're like, man, I'm down for hepatitis. That's not a fetish. Actually, it probably is. Everything is a fucking fetish.
Which one
do
you have again? Oh, sorry. I didn't want that one.
I want to get them in order.
Yeah.
Alphabetical order. Collect them all.
So, my recommendation, I kind of went to it on a whim. I wasn't expecting it to be good, but I went to go see Gravity on Friday.
Yeah.
And that was pretty damn good.
You also saw it on IMAX, right?
Yeah, I saw it on the IMAX.
Was it actually worth the money?
I'd say so. I'd say so.
It's
just
space, and space is cool.
I've heard from people that seeing it in IMAX and 3D is the only way to see that movie.
I'd agree.
Of the way the visuals and stuff are, like, I suppose that's the only way.
It probably makes it feel bigger and emptier.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like space.
Yeah, the guy who directed it is the same director who did Children of Men. So if you like really long establishing shots, it works takes his time. With this movie. It has that same type of tension that at least when I first went to go see Children of Men, I had, you know, it was just nervous tension for the whole time, and that movie worked out pretty well. Normally don't like Sandra Bullock in movies, but man, it worked. It worked out well.
She's great in Demolition Man.
She is awesome in Demolition Man.
This is true.
And Miss Congeniality.
Which one? Yeah. Two?
Both of them. Both of them are awesome.
Wait. Actually, I did not. This might show the fact that I'm in fact a married man, but the one that she did with that crazy.
The heavyset lady?
Yeah. The Heat?
The Heat.
Yeah. That actually was not bad.
The trailers looked funny.
It basically take a buddy comedy. And just put two women instead, yeah. And that's what it is. It's a buddy comedy with women. It's really not bad.
Yeah,
I don't know, but women aren't usually funny.
Yes,
Bridesmaids is pretty good.
Yeah,
that's all right. I like the poop scene, but it was.
Well, now we know what you like.
Yeah.
Hey,
shh.
Chef, you got any recommendations?
No, you got them all.
So. Drink your blood regularly.
Literally, like that right there with everything you enjoy about life.
Yeah. Make sure you take your
medication.
Your insurance.
I recommend taking your medication. You know,
Jeff recommends Ensure.
Yeah,
it's delicious and nutritious. It's delicious and nutritious.
And so nutritious. And it is also what will save you in the movie Impact.
Yeah.
Sorry, random bad movie that out. You know, bad sci-fi movie from the late 90s.
It's not too bad.
It is bad.
No.
What was it that saved him in Evolution? Oh, it was the Selsun Blue, wasn't it? Or
yes, yeah. Really bad.
And Spirit of 76, they were saved by Visine because their time machine needed a chemical, and it's the chemical that's in Visine, and the Stoners knew that because they always used Visine to cover up their red eye from smoking pot.
All right.
My recommendation's The World's End. So it's the last movie in the Cornetto trilogy. I think is what it's called with. Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright directed it, and then Nick Frost. It's a hilarious end-of-the-world alien invasion kind of movie, and it's basically them just trying to get drunk and relive a bar crawl, and the world's going to end. So it's a pretty just hilarious premise.
I have one question for you. How much Bill Nighy is in it?
Bill Nighy is at the... Trying to...
That's his stepdad from Shaun of the Dead.
I don't think he's in that one. He is. He's in the end.
No, he's in the end.
Yep, he's in it.
Spoiler.
Oh,
he's
okay.
In the end.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Spoiler, but yes,
because I'm still mad. Then the director's commentary for Shaun of the Dead, they say their only regret was they didn't have enough Bill Nighy. And then in Hot Fuzz, he's in it even less.
Yeah.
It was a betrayal.
Yeah, he isn't even less in...
Fuckers!
He's in it, though. He is.
Right.
Plays a very, very good part.
I liked him in Rango.
Rango is awesome.
And he was the good part of the second and third Pirates movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't mind the Pirate movies. But anyway, I guess that's pretty much it. Should probably call it.
All right, Andy declares it done.
Does anybody have any more recommendations?
Jeff, you're such full of recommendations. Yeah. Tell us more joys you have in life.
Yeah.
AARP treating you well.
Jesus.
The biggest joy is that we're at the end here. So.
All right, that's it. We're signing off. Thanks, guys.